the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're broadcasting today live from Nashville, Tennessee, and we're glad to be here and ready to talk today about Star Wars, The Revenge of the Sith. I think it's time for Christians to take a look at what this movie really represents, its impact on popular culture, its influence on the young, and what it really means over against Eastern thought patterns and mythologies, and how this is being filtered into mainstream American culture. So, I know a lot of you out there have seen the movie, others are talking about the movie. Almost everyone in America has some knowledge of what the Star Wars series is all about, and today is your opportunity to talk about it, and we're going to consider it from a Christian worldview. First, a review of the news. Today, my weblog, I talk about an advertising campaign and a news story from the Houston Chronicle that details that many American churches and denominations have decided that advertising in the media is the way to stem membership losses, gain new members, and raise public profile. This particular story from the Houston Chronicle has to do with an advertising series undertaken by the Unitarian Universalists there in the Houston area. In particular, they ran a series of ads for what they call the Uncommon Denomination. And I would call that truth in advertising, because Universalism, Unitarianism, or what is now called the Unitarian Universalist Association, represents the far left wing. It is post-Christian. It embraces all kinds of worldviews. You can believe in any God or no God and be a participant in a UU congregation. They ran this advertising campaign on Interstate 10 outside Houston, and according to this news story, a representative couple, Alan Fletcher and Stephanie Hoverman, decided to respond to this. They ended up attending the Emerson Unitarian Church, and it's very, very interesting what they had to say here. They responded to this ad because they were looking for a liberal denomination. This church advertised itself as a liberal denomination. Other churches are also trying this. The United Church of Christ, we talked about that one on the air, and I, in fact, debated that on Good Morning America a few weeks ago. The United Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church USA are trying similar programs. Tracy Robinson Harris, the National Director for Congregational Services for the UUA, that's the Unitarian Universalist Association, explained, and I'm quoting her here, "We simply needed to find new and different ways to get our name and our values out into the community and to extend the invitation for folks looking for a liberal religious home to come and pay us a visit." She said, "Unitarian Universalists are a religious community held together not by a creed, but by a common set of values that includes respect for each person and acceptance of the truths found in all world religions," end quote. Now, there's no explanation whatsoever for how they come up with these values that are completely independent of any creed or fundamentally shared religious beliefs. They went on and said more. Linda Schaefer, who responded to the Houston advertising campaign, she joined the Emerson congregation. She said, "We were ready to pray." She then explained that Unitarian Universalism accepts all faiths, including atheism and agnosticism. Quote, "It's a good place for anybody of any religion." Of course, I would argue that calling atheism and agnosticism faiths is a little ridiculous. Unbelief may be a religion, but it's hardly a faith. If Linda Schaefer was ready to pray, we can only wonder to whom her prayers were addressed. Richard Vera, the author of this article for the Houston Chronicle, says, quoting Barb Powell, the United Church of Christ, 100 years ago, newspapers and oratory were how churches spread the good news. Everyone is saying these days that if you're not on TV, not on cable, if you're not on the web, you don't exist. Well, I guess we'd all better listen to what everyone is saying. But only if we want to exist, of course. You can check this out on my weblog. To me, it's a very sad demonstration of what happens when you no longer have a distinctively Christian message. What you have left is advertising. You can bill yourself the uncommon denomination, and you can point to your inclusiveness, basically accepting persons regardless of what they believe about God or even if they believe about God. In a footnote to my commentary, I just had to list this. On the UUA website, it says that the denomination's president, William G. Sinkford, has joined what is called a cyber march on global warming. I love this. A cyber march. You don't actually have to march. All you do is sign on and let the internet do the marching. That must be another way of existing on the web. As I see it, more nonsense. Where's the gospel? Where's the good news of Jesus Christ? Where's the Christian truth claim? Where those are absent, it doesn't matter if you exist on the web. You don't exist with a message. CBS News is out with a news story suggesting that G movies are the big box office draw, and Hollywood is nevertheless resistant to making them. The Dove Foundation of Michigan has released a study indicating that G-rated movies are nearly 11 times more profitable than R-rated films. Now, why in the world isn't Hollywood getting the message? Well, I find fascinating the response of people in the film industry to this Dove report. For instance, Nancy Snow, an assistant professor of media studies at California State University at Fullerton, says, "This whole debate hangs on how you define family. We have this ongoing polarization in the country over so-called family values." Well, Professor Snow, that's why Hollywood doesn't get it. We do, as a nation, have a basic understanding of what family is and what family-friendly would represent. And what Hollywood is putting out isn't it. But I think Professor Snow is on to something here. I think the reality is that money isn't the main engine driving Hollywood. That is the only conclusion you can draw from the evidence. Why would Hollywood continue to make money, continue to make films that lose money? Why would they be determined to make movies that offend the buying public? Why do they continually make these box office smashes that just absolutely go into the drain that are rated R and deserve to be rated worse? I think the only conclusion you can draw is that Hollywood makes films for Hollywood. The producers, the directors, those who are behind the actual writing and the construction and the production of these films are making films to impress the Academy of Motion Pictures. They're looking for an Oscar. They're trying to impress their liberal friends. The Hollywood worldview is so far to the left of mainstream American culture that Hollywood makes a movie that makes sense to them, and then they wonder why America doesn't like it. There's more in this news story from CBS. In this particular case, a professor of media studies at Pennsylvania State University, Kevin Hagopian, says, and you have to listen to this, "For individuals who are outside the controversy, this study gives the imprimatur of objectivity to what is in all respects one of the most subjective debates in all of media." Subjective debates? What's he talking about here? Whether a movie's good or bad? No, he's talking about profitability. All right, Mr. Hagopian, who's kidding whom? You can't tell me that Hollywood can't count. This is a business. You have to explain why they keep running their business in the ground. Dick Rolfe of the Dove Foundation says that most conservatives are very concerned about language and nudity, and that liberals are concerned about violence. But for years, cultural conservatives have tried to make their voices heard in Hollywood through boycotts and idealistic appeals. It's going to be interesting to see what happens out of all of this, but I find it rather pathetic that Hollywood responds by saying, first of all, the Dove study can't be right because we don't even know which movies made money. Don't believe that for a second. And then to have this professor at California State University at Fullerton, who influences the film industry, say the whole debate hangs on how you define the family, and then to cast it off by saying we have an ongoing polarization in this country over so-called family values, Professor Snow, it may look that way in Hollywood or even in Fullerton on the campus of California State University, but it really doesn't look that way across mainstream America. In Italy, on Monday, there was a plebiscite, a referendum, to see if the Italian people wanted to change the fertility laws. In Italy right now, the human embryo enjoys several legal protections that embryo does not have in the United States of America. Those who were pushing for a liberalization of the law were hoping this referendum would go over in a big way. But actually, so few voters actually went to vote on the question that the entire question failed. According to the Italian Constitution, a referendum has to pass by 50% of all eligible voters. And with a turnout under 25%, there was no way it was going to make this. Rocco Buttiglione, we've talked about him on the program before, Italy's culture minister, said this: "The result of today mean that Italy is maybe more similar to Texas than to Massachusetts. Italians want a democracy with values that values human life, and that is why they rejected this referendum." Ladies and gentlemen, the take-home value from all of this is that something is happening in Europe. The continent is in big trouble. They are reproducing themselves at a rate far below even the replacement rate. The only way the population of Europe has been growing in recent years is by immigrants, and those immigrants largely Muslim. We are watching the Islamification of Europe. And in liberal Europe, there is evidently a sense of some kind of cultural crisis that is setting in. In the Netherlands and in France, the massive repudiation of the treaty for the proposed European Constitution for a unified commonwealth of European nations is one sign of a popular unrest. And now, The fact that the Italian people came out and said that they would not even come out in sufficient numbers to justify the referendum says something about the ruling elites in Italy as well. Folks, we're going to be talking about the Star Wars films, and especially the latest installment, Volume 3, The Revenge of the Sith. The big issue is how we as Christians should consider this and what we should think about in terms of the Christian worldview. Get ready to give us a call. This is the Albert Mohler Program, live today from Nashville, Tennessee. George Lucas is making a lot of money on the Star Wars films. We're going to have a lot of conversation about it, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to talk about Star Wars today, especially the latest and supposedly last installment in the Star Wars series, The Revenge of the Sith. Oddly enough, it's number 3 out of 6, but it's the last, and that's part of the story. I want to know what you think about this, and some of you are probably ready to call already. The phone number 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I want to tell you, I decided to go and to talk about this, to consider it, largely because of a new book that came out entitled The Christian Wisdom of the Jedi Masters. This is by Dick Staub, and some of you know his book reviews and movie reviews that appear at his own website, dickstaub.com. He also writes movie reviews for Christianity Today, found on their website. And there were some rather incredible claims made in this book, suggesting that there is a Christian message or a Christian take on this particular message that comes through George Lucas's Star Wars series. Well, Mr. Staub suggests that the movie makes a great contribution to contemporary belief. He suggests that it presents a religious allegory that is compatible with Christianity, at least in part. I'm going to read it here. He says, one of Star Wars' great contributions to contemporary belief is the reinforcement of the centuries-old teaching advanced by all religions that something mysteriously spiritual is at work in the universe. He goes on to say Star Wars creator George Lucas named this phenomenon the Force. Now, I have a hard time with calling this a great contribution to contemporary belief, even before you get to the issues of Eastern mysticism and the amorphous duality of what is called the Force. There really isn't much of a profound statement being made here at all. But he goes on, and understand in the background to this is the fact that the Force is a blend of light and darkness and good and evil. It's both impersonal and seductive. I would suggest that this concept is not compatible with Christian truth. But Mr. Staub also relates that the concept of God is not foreign to George Lucas, and I'm quoting him here, who in an interview with Bill Moyers embraces mysticism over certitude in his understanding of God. Mr. Staub then turns to apply this, quote, likewise, the Jedi type of Christian embraces divine mystery humbly, professing a similar modesty about our knowledge of God, who, though personal and accessible, is also surrounded by what one mystic called the cloud of unknowing. Ladies and gentlemen, in my view, this is profoundly, dangerously, and tragically wrong. What we have in Scripture is the self-revelation of God, who does not define himself as a mystery, but has made himself known, first to the children of Israel, and then to us through Jesus Christ, and it is our task to make him known to all peoples everywhere. We do not bear witness to the Force, but rather to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the God we worship, certainly he is beyond our understanding. We know that from Romans chapter 11. He is beyond our finding out. But at the same time, there is specific content revelation concerning him, and we are not merely left with mystery. Now, let me just say before we go to calls that there is one particular line in this film that has attracted, I would say, the majority of the opinion. And that is the line that is spoken by Obi-Wan Kenobi to Anakin Skywalker as he is really in the struggle between good and evil, and Anakin's deciding whether he's going to go over to the dark side. And at this point, Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Anakin Skywalker, only a Sith thinks in absolutes. Anakin has said, if you're not with me, you're my enemy. And Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is presented as the wise man of the movie along with Yoda, he says, only a Sith thinks in absolutes. So only the Dark Lords believe in absolute truth. The enlightened Jedi know better, of course, and Lucas wants his viewers to embrace Obi-Wan's counsel. And here we face the reality of the New Age vision, and the real take-home influence of the Star Wars series. No absolutes. Now, let me just suggest to you that they can't hold to this without contradicting themselves, because, after all, the Sith are supposed to be evil. If there are no absolutes, how can anyone be evil? For that matter, how can anyone be good? That's what we need to talk about. The phone number is 877-893-8255. The issue is Star Wars, the spiritual meaning of George Lucas's series, and how we as Christians should respond to it. We're going to go to Joe, calling from San Francisco, California, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You actually you mirrored exactly what I was going to say, and that did occur to me immediately when I was watching the movie. So because you've mentioned that, and of course I agree with you, the other thing I would mention, though, is not only do they contradict themselves and then expose their thoughts on relativistic thought, the other thing they try to do, though, in a very sneaky way, is give Anakin Skywalker a line that sort of parallels something that Jesus said before he criticized them. Now, when he says you're either for me or against me, and in some way that he's trying to reflect a statement that Christ made.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I had the same thought. You know, it's in a different context and actually with a different kind of meaning, but I think you're exactly right. And my guess is that there'll be a lot of the viewers of the movie who will get that. Joe, let me ask you this. Have you seen all the Star Wars movies? Or, you know, did you wait to see this one come out because you were expecting to see the conclusion, completion of the series?
Yeah, that was the only reason. It was just out of curiosity, just to finish the series, yeah.
Yeah, well, I tell you, people were lining up for hours long before the theaters opened with this new movie. There are Star Wars fanatics out there. My guess is we just might hear from a couple of them today. The phone number, 877-893-8255. We're going to go to Jennifer calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm actually of the opposite direction. I'm a Christian. However, I think that a lot of people are reading too much into this movie. I don't think that George Lucas is out there to make statements neither for nor against Christianity. We all draw our imagination from somewhere throughout our life, and I think that when George Lucas uses and creates Star Wars, he draws from different things. He uses the Wookiees. He draws that character from orangutans. You know, we draw from different things. And, I mean, it's a movie about good versus evil, and it's the last movie of a series of six movies all the way around. I've been watching Star Wars since I was about 4 years old, and I absolutely love it. And I think that people are taking this a little too far, and they're trying to read into something that's really not there.
So you don't think that George Lucas has any intention of importing Eastern mysticism here?
No, I don't. I don't think that his intention is to translate the world into Buddhists or Buddhist monks. I really don't think that's there.
All right. Appreciate your call, Jennifer. It's good to hear your argument. And by the way, you would have a good quote from George Lucas to buttress what you wanted to say. When the films first came out, George Lucas said that his only purpose in making the films was to make a fun escapist movie, and I'm quoting here, he said, whose only purpose is to give pleasure, end quote. Interestingly, Mr. Lucas changed his tune. In an interview with Bill Moyers, published in Time magazine later, he said, I see Star Wars as taking all the issues that religion represents and trying to distill them down into a more modern and easily accessible construct, that there is a greater mystery out there. He also said religion is basically a container for faith, and faith in our culture, what one might describe as supernatural, or the things that we can't explain, is a very important part of what allows us to remain stable and remain balanced. He went on to say he believes that all religions are true. I want to know what you think. The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I think Mr. Lucas is really up to more than telling a story here, although I must tell you that I think Jennifer has a point that you can watch these merely as a story. The question is, who's watching and seeing more than a story, and how is this influencing the culture? The phone number, 877-893-8255, live from Nashville, Tennessee. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking Star Wars, and it's already been a fascinating conversation. Some people think that the movie is really laden with Eastern mysticism and thus represents an attempt to at least influence popular American culture to be more open to this kind of influence. And then on the other hand, there's some who say, look, it's just in a film. It's escapism. It's entertainment. And we shouldn't be trying to read any particular religious or ideological factors into this in terms of messages. Let me tell you right up front that I went to see the movie. I took my two teenagers, 13-year-old son, 16-year-old daughter. We watched it. We had a great conversation about it. And so I want to say right up front that we as Christians need to learn how to watch some films and then to exercise the right kind of Christian discernment to talk about them. What did this mean? What was the producer? What was the director trying to communicate? What does this mean in terms of a challenge to the Christian worldview? How do we respond to this? Now, obviously, there are limits to that. There are many movies I would not take my kids to see, even if I were to have such a conversation about discernment. But there was enormous entertainment value in the Star Wars movie, The Revenge of the Sith. There was a lot of closure in terms of understanding the story of how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. Anakin Skywalker was transformed by going over to the dark side. And there's a lot to talk about there. But I think we as Christians need to discern that there is a particular Eastern mystical bent to this movie. And I think we need to be very careful about making the kind of claims that you see in some published sources that this represents something that is a Christian allegory or compatible with Christian truth. I don't believe that for a moment. I want to know what you think. The phone number 877-893-8255. Let's go to Sienna calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Sienna, go right ahead.
Hi there. Thank you, Doctor. First of all, I would like to say that my husband and I are a little bit of science fiction buffs, and so we love the Star Wars and Star Trek and all those kinds of space exploration movies and all that stuff. So I am a fan, and I'm sure I will see this latest version just for entertainment purposes, and I loved and grew up on the first three, which so far I think are the best. But anyway, having said that, I think that anybody, especially Christians, who are employing, all I can think of is the head in the sand tactic, or at least wishful thinking. There is a specific agenda coming out of Hollywood, and not just in sci-fi things, but it seems to be even more so in that. I mean, things from the original Star Wars movies have become icons of our culture. I mean, how many times has the scene between Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker where he says, oh, you know, Luke, I am your father, how many times has that been replayed and parody and other shows and stuff? And we talk about the Force and stuff, and it's become part of our culture, and everybody refers back to that knowing what that means. And I didn't realize growing up that I was being indoctrinated into New Age thinking, but now that I'm older and wiser and not nearly so naive, I see that these things are everywhere in our culture, from the toys that they're trying to sell our children to the songs and the movies and every avenue that they can get at. And I believe that Christians need to stop being so naive. Yes, I'll see it for its entertainment value, and eventually I will let my daughter see probably all six versions, and I'll have a sit-down talk with her and make sure that she understands that we're watching this for purely entertainment purposes, and that it has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. It is antithetical, and we need to get our heads out of the sand.
Yeah, well, I think you make some very good points there, actually, several. And I think, you know, this is something that parents have to think about in a discerning way as you even make the decision about whether or not you're going to take your kids to see it or let your kids see it. And I made the decision, and I stand by the decision, that it was good for us to go and to look at it and then to have the conversation about it. And I wasn't afraid of my kids being seduced into being followers of the Force. To the contrary, I think they picked up some lessons on how to detect this kind of Eastern mysticism out there in the larger culture. But different parents will come to different decisions. We've got some great callers on the line, and we want you to call. The phone number 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Well, the whole issue of Star Wars is something that has caught the attention of even the Smithsonian Institution that had a very major display several years ago on the meaning of the movie. And the Smithsonian Guide, interestingly enough, called the movie one of the great myths of our time. George Lucas himself has described the movie as a whole cosmology, and others have called it a pseudo-religion. The Smithsonian described the Force as being something similar to Zen Buddhism. Well, if the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum can see it, shouldn't we see it? 877-893-8255 is the phone number. Live today from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Albert Mohler. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about Star Wars. It's been a lively conversation, and I want to tell you I know of one great gift the Star Wars series gave to America, and that's John Williams' soundtrack, which is absolutely phenomenal. And if you don't recognize that, you have been Rip Van Winkle for the last 30 years in America. It is a compelling theme, and it was interesting to me to see that it still is pretty much the same, that you have some updating and some new sub-themes, but largely it's still the same. Old Star Wars music, and that's good. That's just a piece of America now, regardless of the content of the movie. We want to know what you think about this. Is it a challenge to Christian faith? Is it a form of a Christian allegory? I've told you what I think. I want to know what you think. The phone number, 877-893-8255. We're going to go to Chicago, Illinois, where Douglas is on the line. Douglas, go right ahead.
Yes, I agree with you 100% that there is a religious undertone to the film. I believe when he originally created it back in the 70s, it originally was a six-part play. But because Hollywood was so short on time limits back then, he wound up having to cut the film down. One of the undertones that I don't know if you've noticed or not, but when they originally find Anakin Skywalker, and I believe it's part one, if you remember, it are actually the Force which creates Anakin, and he has no father. He is, in fact, a virgin birth. And then he, later in the film, if you go into the third one, he converts into evil. Okay, so that's kind of like saying God is evil all at the same time. But then if you take the original number six, where he is Darth Vader and he dies at the end of the film, he again turns back to good. And then he is in whatever realm they are calling heaven, because Obi-Wan is there. And then if you also notice, Obi-Wan is able to converse with them in and out of this realm.
Well, I have to tell you, Douglas, you're ahead of me on understanding the complexity of the story, and you raise a host of interesting issues, which, of course, comes right out of what George Lucas has said in numerous interviews that he was trying to do, and that is take various symbols and storylines from world religions and blend them all together in what he called a new cosmology. And yet it's one that I would argue is just not compatible with Christianity. And Douglas raised a very interesting issue that we could call Manichaeanism. This is the ancient heresy that you have a duality of good and evil that will be continually and eternally in opposition, and everyone has a little good and a little evil in him, even God, presumably, and the Force, and thus the Force has its dark side. That is not Christianity. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, according to the scripture. We understand where the darkness comes from. It's human sin. It does not originate in God. And we also know that evil has a time limit, that there will come a time when God will put all evil to an end. And that is not, I think, what you would find either implied or explicit in the Star Wars films. Let's go to Jason calling from Lawton, Oklahoma. Jason, go right ahead.
Well, I would have to respectfully disagree. I think that's reading quite a bit into the movie with that last caller. I think it's good to be wise as a Christian to use our discernment to do as you did, talk with your children about what movies to watch, where our belief values come into play. But I think that sometimes we tend to go a little overboard and take these science fiction films and read a little too much into them. They are just for entertainment value, in my opinion. But I do think it's dangerous to draw Christian parallelisms or scriptural parallelisms to any of the science fiction movies. And I really would like to get your opinion on what you thought about Lord of the Rings, because to me the Christian media seems to have really pushed the Lord of the Rings as scriptural parallelism. And when I watched those movies, I thought that that was a real grasp for straws to bring any scriptural parallelism.
You know, Jason, you're not the first to raise that question, and I think it's a good one. Let me say that I think in the movies, the Christian subplot allegorization is rather muted. In the books, it is more clear. Now, J.R.R. Tolkien, by the way, at one point said that his books weren't to be taken as Christian allegories, but later he tended to say that it really was a larger Christian allegory, what he called the catastrophe of the fall and redemption. And yet, here's the reality. I think if you're a Christian and you read The Lord of the Rings, you can find the Christianity there. But I'm going to say something that may offend a lot of Tolkien fans out there. I don't think that you could read The Lord of the Rings and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's where there's a real limitation to what can be conveyed through that science fiction movie and or through the books, the fantasy books of J.R.R. Tolkien. As a Christian, I enjoyed them, and I enjoyed the movies. And I can see the Christian allegory at several different and distinct and important points, but I don't think we should confuse that with the purity and transforming power of the Christian message of the gospel itself. Appreciate your call, Jason. That was a great question. Let's go to Caleb calling from Hubbard, Iowa, listening on KFFF. Welcome, Caleb.
Hey.
Go right ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, as Christians, I mean, we have to be aware of the world around us because it is not the greatest place. But when we go to movies and see entertainment, why do we have to? I just think too many people are reading into it a little too much.
Well, there's always that danger. Let me ask you, Caleb, if George Lucas says that the Force is something akin to Zen Buddhism and like that, does that influence you, or do you still just see it as entertainment?
Oh, I just saw it as entertainment. I mean, I like all George Lucas's movies. I mean, I can see how some people read into it just looking for that, but you know, just as a regular moviegoer, you know, you can't just see that. You have to be looking for it.
All right. Well, Caleb, interesting point. Appreciate your call. They're from Hubbard, Iowa. Let's go very quickly to Rick calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Rick, go right ahead.
Yeah. Hey, there's no doubt Lucas made these films with mysticism and, you know, the good and evil concept. But I'm a huge Star Wars fan, have been since I was, you know, they first came out. If you can distinguish between the entertainment and the mysticism, yes, there's a lot of Christianity, because my point was I was going to make a, you know, Anakin Skywalker, he was born of no father. That's what kind of offended me. He was being, you know, taught up to be like Jesus was. That's what I kind of didn't like about. But any other thing you can, you know, separate from it, it's entertainment and take it as that and, you know, live your life as a Christian. Otherwise, you know, then go watch the movie and distinguish between the two. It doesn't affect me at all.
Thanks so much for making that point, Rick. And I think you raise a very legitimate question. And I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit here. I think there are some people who really take too many cues from popular culture. They become too fascinated with films or with music or with popular entertainment. And quite frankly, not only do we have a war of worldviews at that level, we also have the fact that these vehicles are inadequate, really, to even get at the most important questions of life. A movie can make us cry, a movie can make us laugh, but in the end, we can't live on movies. We can't live just at the level of popular culture and popular entertainment. And I want to suggest to you, that's one of the great challenges for the Christian church in this generation, is to get through the fog of popular culture to get to the truth of Christian faith. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. This is Albert Mohler. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. It's been a fascinating discussion of Star Wars, George Lucas, and all the rest. Great callers today. I thought everyone made a contribution to the larger understanding of this picture. And I go back to the fact that we as Christians have to learn how to be discerning, not only when it comes to movies and films, but when it comes to the entire world of popular culture. Which leads me into the issue I've avoided talking about until now. Yesterday's acquittal of Michael Jackson on all 10 charges in the courtroom in Santa Maria, California, really brings an end to that trial process, but it just is the opening question in terms of what this means for American popular culture and for culture worldwide. Now, already there's all kind of debate over the nature of the verdict, the quality of the evidence, the cases made by the prosecution and the defense, and whether or not this was a demonstration of justice or a miscarriage of justice. Well, I'll leave others to debate that, but let me just say that we know enough about Michael Jackson to know we have big trouble here. We know enough by what he admitted long before we ever got to this trial. We really know that we're dealing here with a deeply troubled individual who's led a deeply troubled life, and unfortunately, it has deeply troubled other lives as well. Now, I have to tell you, from a Christian perspective, I think we have to look at Michael Jackson with a mixture of pity and concern, mixed with outrage and indignation. And I don't think that anything we learned yesterday about the verdict really changes how we should understand this. But I think it raises some big questions about American popular culture. In reality, it was this culture that made Michael Jackson. It was this culture that encouraged his eccentricities. It was this culture that gave him the cult of celebrity as a zone of privacy and protection against the kind of accountability that most human beings have. It was this culture that led him into a deepening form of what most would just consider not only self-reinvention, but self-destruction. Now, already the pundits are questioning what will be the future of Michael Jackson's career. Will he go to Las Vegas and open a stage show? Will he go international, start a theme park in Africa? All things are being discussed. I'll leave that to others. The big question is, how does America respond to someone in Michael Jackson's situation? Acquitted of crimes, but quite frankly, by his own self-description and what is easily documented in the press, a deeply troubled individual. Can that be turned into a commercial success in postmodern America? That's a big question, and the answer to that question is going to tell us a lot about where we are as a culture. This is about money, it is about fame, it is about consumerism and entertainment, it is about popular culture and music, but fundamentally it's about morality. We're the people who are supposed to know that. We'll be back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can write ahead by going to albertmoeller.com, M-O-H-L-E-R.com, and you can post your question there. Get ready to call tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Moeller's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.